Everybody take a look at the minutes.
Max 4 minutes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
November 3rd and 18th.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, well, we were expecting to have the sheriff come in, I guess.
Just
Vicky Tony
is coming.
Yeah. Jay said
he's coming,
but
yeah.
Maybe
he's
just
running a little late.
Okay.
We can start with resolution, huh? Yeah. Let's see. He probably pulled somebody over. Actually, I'll do that much. I was told by the law enforcement that he's actually pulled somebody over. Mm-hmm. He's a hands-on sheriff.
Very good. Well, we'll start with resolution 463, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Office of Children and Family Services for daycare registration and inspection program funding. Move for discussion.
I'll second.
Okay. This program provides funding for processing initial daycare facility registration applications, renewals of existing registrations, complaint investigation, and CVS, et cetera, and so forth. The funding is $139,787, and that's 100% federal. Yeah. Any questions on that? No? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We will move on to resolution 464. That's amending the 2015 Ulster County budget to accept New York State University School of Medicine grant. These are 100% federal pass-through dollars, and that's in the amount of $38,734. Will be used in support of the initiative to make New York State child welfare welfare foster care system more responsive to the needs of children and families to improve the outcomes of individual and systematic level.
I'll move it.
Do it. Second?
Yeah, I'll second.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is this additional money for that study, or is this a new study?
This is an ongoing contract. We're going to do our third year. This is really just an improvement in the contract. We got an additional cash flow fund, just adding
them
to the program. Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. And we're the only ones right now in the state that are participating in this program?
No, we were selected along with New York State.
The sheriff thought that it was Thursday.
Okay.
And is now out of the county.
Okay.
So he said we can set up a call. If you wanted him to call in, or
I don't know. Yeah,
there was a miscommunication with whether we were going to be bundling the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we'll just we'll reschedule it, and I would feel more comfortable than that. Oh boy. What
was he going to talk about?
Because
us having the meeting last week, you know, but
so
maybe we can being that we're gonna have maybe we can invite him to that
we're gonna give him an opportunity to tell us.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to hear from him. What is his what his policy was, why did he feel this, was so important, and I just wanted to give him an opportunity to speak to the committee who oversees the department.
Sure.
I'll put him on speakerphone.
Yeah, no, let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let the other committees take care of
that. Okay, then, we'll reach out to that person.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to vote on this.
Okay.
All right. Well, any further discussion?
Yeah.
No? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. resolution for 65. In preliminary appointment to the Ulster County Board of Health, the county executive is reappointing Dr. Mark Tack to serve another 4 years on the board. Denny, I meant to reach out to you regarding a resume. I know that's a reappointment, but I kind of both reappointments and new appointments, just for reference.
Right.
So maybe for caucus.
Okay.
Was he the gentleman that was here with Health Alliance?
Yes.
Aye.
Resolution 467. That's approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 for occupations. This is a mandate agreement for the agency to receive funding through the Crisis Intervention Services to children and adults in the community who have behavioral health concerns. The agency provides rapid response assessments of the individual and resolution of the situation that would reduce psychiatric hospitalizations and ER visits. This program was, Ken, you may want to speak with the program.
We recall several months ago the legislature passed a resolution accepting state dollars to provide for a mobile crisis.
Yes.
You recall legislator Wishnick to White team and the Human Privilege of the Floor talked about what she thought the fund was important. The good news I can report to the committee that's not here in your paperwork is when we awarded those funds, we did a competitive RFP. We had multiple responses. We chose occupations to do the contract. They're very experienced. They currently provide all the mobile crisis in Orange County. They have a very, very robust system in Orange County. They're looking to move their team up here. The initial funding that we had was not timeline. Essentially covered the major population corridor for New Paltz, Kingston, on Saugerties. We've been working really hard. Again, mobile crisis is something that we think is really critical, especially to keep people out of the hospital, suffering mental issues, both adults and children. And so we were pleased to get this, but we've been working on it. And just last week, the county executive was notified that we're going to give an additional $300,000 to make our crisis team plan. So after we get this in place, you'll see another resolution accepting another $300,000 for amend this contract and we'll get into countywide. So that'll be a little more obvious as well, so we can have penetration across the whole
county. How does that work, Ken? Where are those stations?
They're going to be located in Kingston. Obviously, we're still working on the details. We're going to be in Kingston, and there's additional funds that are going to be in Kingston. There will be a system in place. I know that we're meeting with the all the school superintendents in January, also with the police chief association. So basically, there's going to be an 800 number that someone can call to request a team to come to their home or a school or a business, wherever someone from this trust is located. We'll also have it coordinated with our 911 system, so they can make those referrals to that one as well. With the additional funding, which is coming back covered, the service will be available from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 11 o'clock at night. From 1 to 11, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And what I will look to have a 24-hour service.
I don't think we moved it, right? Did we move for a second?
Not after.
I'll second it.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right. Move on to approving the execution of the contract amendment in excess of $50,000 for the NYU School of Medicine. So this is for the Atlas project. Atlas is aimed at strengthening mental health assessment and treatment for children in New York State, as well as improving training for service providers. That's in the amount of $51,645. And
what's the line item? 468?
Yep.
How much did you say?
51 to 45. Yeah. That's okay. I'll second it. Okay.
Okay. And then
the indirect
cost,
I guess there was.
They've already allowed for that. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's not in there. It's a reference. That's actually our portion. It's 10% of the contract. So there's 43 for salary, 43 and change. And then there's 3,000 for travel. And then there's 10% that the ESS is requesting for indirect costs.
It might be
$600. It might
be equipment. I know that they're doing a lot of presentations. They've been training I learned a couple of weeks ago was where we had a child in our foster care system who had suffered a horrific trauma and had an issue with projectile vomiting. When they got into a stressful situation, they would make themselves vomit, the child. And this kid is getting passed from foster home to foster home to foster home when he was taken. So what this team did is they went in and worked with the foster parent about what this child's triggers were, his trauma, and taught them how to deal with it. And now this kid has been stabilized in a foster home for some time. That's the kind of work they're doing.
Through the administration end of this.
This is they actually provide the housing for the child and the
therapy. Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Where are they located? Albany.
Albany.
It's okay. Well, actually, I live not that far from the St. Catherine, so I live in Albany for a while.
Each program is different. They offer different special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there are mutual things in place.
It's kind of insensitive.
With the Health Alliance campus that was here and made a presentation about 5 months ago, and he was just here actually with the presentation regarding.
Right, well, he was here for the whole presentation too.
Yeah. He was in Washington, D.C. a week and a half ago, Thursday prior to Thanksgiving, lobbying to U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand, and the members of Congress that represent our district, Chris Gibson, and the neighboring district, Sean Patrick Maloney, on behalf of equalizing the Medicare or Medicaid reimbursement rates that are paid out to the Health Alliance campuses. So I had read about it in the paper, and I phoned his office, and I left a message with the secretary. He phoned me back, and in the interim, I took it upon myself to call up all of the respective legislators in Washington, D.C. Charles Schumer's office was the only one I didn't get any hold of anybody with. So he phoned me back, gave me a cell phone number, and we spoke. We had a good conversation about it, and, you know, he explained some of the nuances and complexities of the issue. So essentially, you have the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, which is a federal government entity, and they have a board where they make the decisions on what these geographical zones are that make the decisions on which areas, which hospitals are going to receive which reimbursement rates and what geographical territories comprise these zones. So essentially, Kingston is kind of like in a tweener position, to use a sports analogy. The Kingston Hospital and the St. Peter's Hospital in Poughkeepsie actually receive 25% less reimbursement rates across the board than do the Northern Dutchess Hospital and do the Bassett Brothers Hospital, which is kind of strange if you think about it, because St. Peter's Hospital in Poughkeepsie is only like, you know, 2 miles from Bassett Brothers Hospital, maybe less. And what it boils down to is that the St. Peter's Hospital in Poughkeepsie is in a health network with a health network company that's based out of Westchester County. And the Northern Dutchess Hospital and Bassett Brothers Hospital, they're in with the Quest Network. So that was the rationale that Mr. Scarpino told me, that he needed to try and get bipartisan support. So since Sean Patrick Maloney represents the city of Poughkeepsie, he represents the St. Peter's Hospital, he felt it was imperative if he could get bipartisan support with both political parties, with a representative from Democratic Party, Sean Patrick Maloney, representative, our congressional representative, Chris Gibson, who he did speak to personally. So he has the processes moving forward with that, and I spoke to our chairman, Legislator Lopez, and I spoke to Mr. Cornell about it last week when I stopped in. I think that it would send a positive message and that we should work with Chairman Parity and draft some letters of support together and through the county executive's office where, ask constituents from our respective districts to call their representatives, you know, call Gillibrand, Schumer, and Chris Gibson and ask them to really fight for this, because Mr. Scarpino explained to me that a nurse that's graduating out of local community college, passing the board exam for an RN, they will receive an offer for $15 an hour higher to take a job at Northern Dutchess Hospital versus at the Kingston campus.
That has been years and years ago when I was on social services. Nurses in our area, all that goes across the bridge, it was $5,000 more at that time, and now it's much more.
Right.
I'm happy you're on it, but this is something we've been fighting for. You know, Congressman Lorenzo Tinchi and all our representatives have been fighting for the last 20 years.
Right.
It's not fair, it's not right, and we've been fighting for it with what we went through with Bovenil.
Right.
It's the reason why that's why most of the counties got rid of their nursing homes, because of this inadequacy in funding. And
right.
It just has to do, because we're just a little too, we're out of that, what do they call that? There's, Ken, what do they call that? Yeah, but I mean, it's the districts.
Well, the districts are weird the way that they're formed, because there's, in the way that the funding is, and it doesn't make sense, because currently, and they change periodically, and it's more frequently than, like, say, the census changes when there's redistricting done for political districts. It happens more frequently than that. So Mr. Scarpino was explaining to me that there used to be a district that was the Putnam County Beacon Newburgh District. That district was eliminated, and it was conflated and merged together with a Connecticut, like a Western Connecticut, Central Western Connecticut region. And the Kingston campus hospitals are actually considered to be in the Poughkeepsie area district, but yet only the St. Peter's Hospital receives that reimbursement rate. And then the Northern Dutchess Hospital, which is in Rhinebeck, which is only like 8 or 9 miles from the Kingston campus, they receive the same reimbursement rate as does Bassett Brothers Hospital, which is, they're considered to be in the New York City metropolitan reimbursement zone. So there's a lot of, things don't add up. You know, my question was, when I was on the phone with him, I went on their website, and my question was, who has oversight of this committee? Where are the board members appointed from? Is it something where it's the executive branch of government through the president's office?
That's what I found most curious, is how this, if it's commissioner, how it's being created, if the appointments are from both the executive and the legislative, and who has the influence, who has, really oversight of how these district lines are created.
Yeah.
Because
We
have a commission, and then it goes that if the district lines are approved as a referendum.
And I think
we have always had the support of all the elected officials that represent our district. They've never had the power to move it, because it takes more than those few to change it.
Right. But I think, you know, if Chairman Lopez and I, we've had some productive conversations about this, we could do a little research and try and maybe have a future discussion about finding out, actually how these committee members are appointed, who has direct oversight, what type of oversight specifically comes from executive and legislative branches on the federal level. And then, we could draft up something that, sounds articulate, has research behind it, so we know what we're talking about. It sends a strong statement from this committee. And we would get Chairman Parity and the county executive's office to, send
similar letters. Yeah, I might do a little research, because I think we might have done that.
No, it's been done before. I researched it when I ran for office, and it's actually Gary Bernardo and Bob Aiello drafted a letter. Right, okay. What I'm saying is,
I think we as a body have done.
I think let's do something more comprehensive this time. Let's do something that has some research behind it that shows what we know what we're talking about. Let's make some phone calls. I actually went up to Kirsten Gillibrand personally and spoke to her about this when she was at Cano Elementary School in Sawgrass in my district like 7 months ago, when she made a speech on behalf of the Safe Streets program. And, when I have an opportunity to meet people in higher elected office, I try and tell them about ideas that I have or things that I think should be run better. I don't just use it as a photo opportunity. So, I think that we should, try and, follow up and make a stronger statement this time around. And maybe let's, hopefully something good will come out of this,
Yeah, I agree. All right, any other new business, old business?
I was just going to say, I did pass around some more information from the American Cancer Society on the electronic cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll go straight to the floor, and hopefully the public hearing goes back to laws and rules, and they'll allow it to go, to the floor for a vote.
Okay. That'll be this one.
No, it goes right to the floor. No, because it's got to go as it is to the floor.
Okay.
There, you can't make any amendments now because, don't forget, the public hearing will be on the draft that it is currently.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's no need for amendments. I mean, it's pretty clear. And, if you read another thing I got from other information I got from the American Cancer Society, if you read here, one in five deaths in the United States are contributed towards the smoking or related to that. 480,000 early deaths each year from that. And I've seen a lot of programs this month in November on television because that was a cancer-free day where they asked everybody to stop smoking for a day. And I don't know if anybody's seen the commercial where they show the woman that was 30-some-odd years old and, had stroke. It was just absolutely incredible, and most of it they've determined is now to, that's why this resolution I feel is so important about the school zones, because that's who we have to try to stop from even starting. This is, that resolution is more geared to the young people. And I'll tell you, I think it works with the education in school. I know my granddaughter, when they started teaching in school, oh my goodness, if you ever lit up a cigarette, she'd have a heart attack. But that's where we have to start and making it as difficult as we can for kids to walk, nearby and pick up cigarettes. And I don't understand why people would be against it. There's no cost for the license. The only people affected is if you're breaking the rules, if you're selling to minors. If you do everything the way you're supposed to do it, there's no fine. It just makes it more difficult, I believe, for young people. So I'm hoping, if I could ask my Republican colleagues, and certainly Chris has helped me a lot more, to expand a little bit on it, maybe in your caucus. I don't know why. There was trouble, I think, in Laws and Rules. They talked about, they had a problem with the word rural. But then Vicki was telling me that if you look at the way it's written up in the planning department, it makes sense, everything that the resolution says. So I don't know if you talked to her about it, but maybe you can have a conversation with her. I'd appreciate it. She was talking to me about it today. So, again, I'd appreciate the support. You gotta do what you can to help young people not pick up some very bad habits.
Okay.
Thank
you. You're talking about two local laws, right? This is the one about the school, the Thousand Feet School thing, and then the e-cigarette thing in the county.
That's an amendment to a law that's already
banning
smoking on county property.
Right.
I said to Rich, and he agreed. I said, look it, supposedly we'll show up next month, 23 of us, and we're all puffing on an electronic cigarette. How do you think that's going to work? No, it's just not right. People should not be sitting at their desk at work. You have a formal complaint about someone sitting at their desk puffing on an electronic cigarette. And if you read what I gave you today coming from the American Cancer Society, it says there's been a new analysis by the FDA and some of the samples, toxin ingredients found in air, were
you would find an antifreeze in them. And they talk about the different flavors, all going toward trying to attract kids to that. So my problem is, I pass all this stuff out, but I know how it is with legislators. We, you know, we get so much information. We get so much online. I don't know how much people read it, but it's there. And this, I mean, these are some of the experts. If you can't believe the American Cancer Society, I don't know who you would believe in. So they found, they looked at 18 samples of cartridges from two leading electronic cigarette brands. Half the samples contained cancer-causing substances. They found other impurities as well, including, I can't even pronounce the word, some kind of diacetyl glycol, whatever the...
Can't
be good. So... Anyway, so
the cross planes.
I would certainly appreciate the support.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
So,
second. Very good.
Does anybody understand this?
The caller's advised. Well, we got a letter in our mailbox.
I
don't know. Where
it's
being
understood.
What is it about? Oh, it's like that. In the controller's quarterly
report.
Why did
you send a report? Yeah. So the controller?
And they've got analyzations. They analyzed the report and found it not factual.
So is that the regular minute?
Yeah, that's the regular minute.
Explanation of why
that one's been done. It's got like figures on Chris Blatt's
and I can't understand
There he is. Hey, Chris, it's got it tonight.
Huh? Yeah, I didn't even see
it.
Herb, you're my friend Donovan. Me either.
Actually, I'm going to say, you saw him in the last.
Well, there's still important and targeted. Still going on.
Merger of a...
All of a sudden,
Village Planning Board and Historical Society.
You know what, I have to train.
Like 50 feet.
Yeah.
No one ever goes to those meetings. I can make from the Village Hall position in 20 minutes for the training.
I don't know. I have to read the book.